Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olalot, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, as always, it's good to be with you today.
Well, it is good to be fellowshipping around the Word and challenging one another in these days.
Nothing better than the Word of God, a cup of coffee, and a great idea.
Yeah, amen.
And we have a great idea that we've been talking about. This is our sixth broadcast with our guest host today, Dr. Jim Bennett. And Jim, you are the Vice President of Academic Affairs at Northern Baptist Bible College. You're a history teacher, and you also lecture widely and really around the globe on the topic that we're talking about here. You've been talking to us about worldviews.
Might be good for you also to mention globalism, you know, and the global vision and the impact that believers today can have like never before.
Well, one of the things the Lord has impressed upon, you know, so many believers in this country and around the world is, you know, as Friedman told us here sometime back, the world is flat. The world is becoming very flat. And by that, of course, he meant that geopolitics, technology, the revolution we're seeing in so many areas, it is bringing people closer together, you know, in what is widely being referred to as a global community. And that has a number of implications, of course, for national economies and the way things work. But, you know, as believers, our primary focus in watching what is developing ought to be that go ye into all the world has never been easier.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings some great opportunities that we ought to be grateful for. I mean, in the 2,000-year history of the Great Commission, these opportunities are unprecedented. Now, with that also brings some challenges. And one of those challenges, of course, what we're talking about with worldviews, because as we come into contact with different cultures and different ideas, it challenges your faith. It challenges you to know what you believe, why you believe it, and be able to, as the Bible says, to always give an answer to anyone that asks about that, you know, that faith that's within you.
I read an article or story recently about a guy who renounced his American citizenship and formed a cyber nation and became a sovereign citizen of a cyber nation that exists only in the cyber world, and made the argument that he shouldn't have to pay taxes or submit to any laws. He should have ambassadorial status and all of the things. I mean, you know, it's a work of fiction, but you can really see how technology is making those kinds of things a very real potential for the future. And you're talking about worldview, and as Christians, we're going to have to at some point learn how to interact in areas that we've never even thought about before.
Yeah. Well, that man's attempt's a fascinating concept. It also reminds me that most of us will do anything to get out of paying taxes.
You're right.
Except die, and eventually we'll all do that.
Yeah.
Jim, you really were talking to us about the applications of the three views, humanism, pantheism, and theism in daily life all the way around us. And you gave us some frightening examples, really, of how this has bombarded us in our society today. And we ended the broadcast with Doc O mentioning that this has actually infiltrated the church. And I would just like for you to take a moment here, and or Doc, even you, and observe how it has come in the church and what we can do about it.
Well, I think if you looked around at values, where are we spending our time, our dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Two good judges, look at my check register and look at my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll pretty much tell us what our worldview is.
And that's because values are set by worldview.
Yes.
So if my value is recreation, that tells me about my worldview.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean we should not have some
right.
of these things, but it should not be controlling us
mm-hmm.
any longer. And I think, Jim, you may want to comment on that, even some of the Bible examples of how that has taken place.
Yeah, one of the most unsettling things in all this, of course, is not that there is humanism or there is pantheism or any of the isms or syndromes that exist in our world today. We should expect non-believers to act and believe like non-believers. That's no surprise to us, and that's where the Bible gives us a pattern for lovingly being a testimony for the Lord. What is unsettling, of course, is how we see these things creep into the church. Those who claim the blood of Christ, those who claim to be biblical theists, and yet their actions reveal otherwise. And then I have to be, you know, vigilant in my own life with this, of course. None of us is beyond fleshing out a worldview that is not biblical.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes we're just not thinking about it.
Right.
You know, we see something that we agree with, and we assume that because we agree with it from a biblical standpoint that, I mean, I was talking to you before the broadcast about how abstinence is taught in the public school system, and a lot of Christians are just thankful that abstinence is being taught without even thinking about the moral ground upon which it's being taught is so different than the moral ground that we would be against, you know, the promiscuity of the day. You know, we would say no because God said no. they would say no because you might get a disease or it might bring an unwanted pregnancy. And, you know, we just because we have the same position doesn't mean we're standing on the same ground.
Right. Two other considerations that always have to be a part of any decision that we make or an examining particular situation is the present. What does it mean mm-hmm. for now?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like a mathematical angle, if you lengthen it out, what will it mean for the future?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that's more difficult to contemplate.
Sure. So how would you do that?
Well, now that's, you know, that's a very broad question. First thing that comes to mind is you go back to the Word. You go back to those foundational questions we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And then you ask the Lord to give you vigilance. You ask the Lord to, you know, humbly, submissively keep you in such a state where you are teachable. And you take the principles of His Word and you apply them. Now, that almost sounds trite because we throw those things around today, but it really is that simple, you know, as we try to form a biblical worldview.
Well, I notice you have your Bible open to a very interesting passage, and I think it illustrates what you've been talking about here. So why don't you take us through that passage?
You know, 1 Kings chapter 12 talks about Jeroboam, and you remember back to ancient history and then in the land of Israel, and eventually that land was divided into two parts. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom, and in the northern kingdom, you had a king named Jeroboam. And Jeroboam, in 1 Kings chapter 12, we have the story where he becomes concerned that if the peoples of his country, his nation now, return to Jerusalem, that their hearts are going to be kind of stirred back to reunite the country.
Mm-hmm.
So he does something very interesting in 1 Kings 12, verse 28. It says, the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, basically, if I could paraphrase, you know, my subjects, it's going to be too hard for you to go back to Jerusalem. You don't have to go back there. You don't have to follow God's commandments. He says, behold, Israel, here's your gods. And he holds up these two calves before them. You see there in verse 20, he says, behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This is what one historian has called a memory hole. And that would be a fascinating discussion at some point, how the discipline of history really is probably the most easily manipulated of all the disciplines, and it can be used to control people's behavior. But what we see in the Old Testament is, This first subtle, and this wasn't the first time it happened, of course. We saw that with Aaron when Moses went up mm-hmm. on the mount before. Mm-hmm. As soon as Israel's view of God and His works, the works of God and His power in their life, as soon as that was changed or altered, they became careless. They became very casual. And you follow it all the way through into the book of Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
You find by the book of Malachi that they still have their form of godliness, what God eventually called their empty rituals, but God says in that book, I have no delight in this. You're robbing me of my glory. Mm-hmm. You're robbing me of the things because you've just grown careless. And so I think the challenge to us as believers in today's society is to not only have right words, but to have right actions, to not grow careless in our day-to-day activities.
And right words and right actions come out of a right heart and right thinking.
Exactly.
Which is what you've been sharing with us. Doc, where would you go in the New Testament for an unfolding of that? I know we had talked about Romans 12 as a place. Is that where you would park?
Well, that's one, you know, where it says, be not conformed to this world, mm-hmm. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. Don't let this system pour us into its mold. And then 1 John 2:15, 16, and 17, mm-hmm. to me, is the ultimate warning. And we see that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life from the Garden mm-hmm. of Eden. And you see that method of Satan's working mm-hmm. all the way through the Scriptures and temptations,
right.
including the temptation of Christ. Where it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away in the luster of, but mm-hmm. he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. To me, those are two passages, although much of Paul's warnings to the
right.
Corinthians and the lifestyle that he was confronting there, to me, would be excellent challenges for us to go back and study and ask, where am I in this, including that listing in 1 Corinthians
mm-hmm.
6
mm-hmm.
of who shall not inherit the mm-hmm. kingdom.
So really, part of being in the world but not of the world involves what we're talking about here, developing a biblical worldview. We can't do it without a biblical worldview is
right.
what I'm hearing from you.
And it starts with God.
Yes.
And maintaining that view of God, and that's why knowing Him is so crucial. That's why starting Monday with freshmen, we're going to be taking them for 2 weeks early in the morning and teaching them how to start formulating the view of their God.
Mm-hmm.
That is, beyond knowing Him in salvation, literally knowing him to where I finally come to imitation
right.
of him.
Which is Ephesians 5:1, be imitators
yes.
of God.
Yes.
Jim, when you think about wrapping this up, what would you say would be one or two key things you would want our listeners to take away?
Well, it's one thing we've gone to time and time again, over and over repeatedly, and that is that it's really not an option to not have a worldview. Anyone says, well, you know what, I live in a pluralistic society, and I'm just going to kind of take what comes. You know, it's impossible to be neutral on some of life's great questions.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can't be neutral on that.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things where it demands a decision. So either Jesus is the only way or Jesus is not. And if I say, well, I'm just not going to decide, then I've already said he's not.
I see.
I've already by default said there are other ways. I'm just going to gamble with my own wisdom or another system, if you will.
And the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. And right. you talk to these people and they are absolutely convinced that you're wrong and they're right.
In all sincerity, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
And that verse in Proverbs says, but the ends of that way are death.
Right. And so I think the first challenge to us all as believers is that we have to have a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't diligently work for one, the default setting might not be what we want. And the end certainly won't be. Mm-hmm. They just might be death or certainly miserable existence as believers. And then the second thing probably that comes out is, you know, there are places to turn for help. There are places, whether it's Worldview Ministries, obviously the ministry of your local assembly, your church. You know, don't let this be something that just is a brief challenge and then go back to our norms, our routines.
Where would you, you know, we've been talking here for a number of broadcasts. If I want to learn more about this, where would you send me?
Well, you know, boy, there's a lot of great sources out there, and probably we could even assemble a, you know, a list, a bibliography of some type if anybody wanted to email in and get that. I think it's some of the work of, you know, the apologists that God is really using today, and they have different aspects of ministry, and they would be good sources. There's another thing that comes to mind that actually was something many years ago that Dr. Ola and I found, and it was the inspiration, if you will, for one of the things we work through in our worldview weekends and some of the things we do. It's a ministry called Probe Ministries.
P-R-O-B-E.
P-R-O-B-E. I think their ministry has changed and expanded, contracted over the years in different ways, but that's been a pretty helpful source. You can just log on the site.
Do you have a website for them?
You know, I believe, well, I probably better not guess, but if you just Google that, Probe Ministries, it's going to come up and you can go and find some wonderful resources there.
And for those of you listening, you can download all six of the broadcasts on the Biblical Worldview at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. You can contact us for your copy of Dr. Olala's book, Developing a Biblical Worldview. Until the next broadcast, may the Lord bless you.